Coming up on TMS, I do not like these beans in my peen, Dr. Green.
This is where his chode will go.
Folding my arms during the theme.
Don Knotts' death montage.
Step Fantasy Island.
Adobe drops support for flash mobs.
Tapping out a wiener.
Rony Boney, the San Francisco treat.
Cork dorks.
Full view of hot tub land.
50 shades of no.
Socially distanced planking.
Start with the lentils and work your way up.
Yeah, see, it's Justin Robert Young, see, and more on this episode of The Morning Stream, see?
See?
Today, I was thinking about water. So amazing. Water.
Do you think you're a genius or a really sick person?
Now picture that, but everywhere. This is The Morning Stream.
Welcome to The Morning Stream, everybody. I'm Scott and he's Brian. It's August 24th, 2021. Brian, did you ever notice or you ever wonder if in the chat room they have this they have this tradition when this theme plays?
Yes.
They all start typing TMS.
Yes.
Do you think there's someone in there that just folds their arms, sits back, and refuses to participate in that?
Oh, I'm sure there are lots of people. Because, I mean, it's, you know, you see a big range of colors of names, right? Because everyone's avatar or screen name comes up with a different color. And so you see this big rainbow. Yep. But I'm sure there are people who are like, yeah, it's fine. I don't care. I'm not going to do that. I don't need to participate in that.
Yeah.
Everybody else does enough of it. So it's not like... it's not like it requires everybody's participation.
Not at all. I just always think of it as like a social experiment, like you would with kind of group dynamic. Some people are going to want to all do the same things, and other people are going to want to go their own way or be rebellious or go, I'm not going with the crowd or whatever. And I think there's a little layer. There's a little bit of that. Just a tiny.
Little bit. Have you ever, I know you've never been part of a flash mob, or I assume you've never been part of a flash mob.
I never have been part of a flash mob that I'm aware of. I don't know.
Have you ever been somewhere where a flash mob happened?
I was in a place once where a whole bunch of people were, when I rounded a corner, this is downtown, a whole bunch of people were there just dancing in the street or the sidewalk area, kind of part of this plaza, and then suddenly abruptly stopped and left. So,
okay, all right, good.
Probably the tail end of one. I don't know.
Looks like you were there for the end of a flash mob. Yeah. I've actually never seen one live. I've seen a ton on, you know, YouTube and in movies and TV shows and things like that. But
what's the state of the modern flash mob? Is it still a thing?
Is it done? Is it played? I think it's probably played.
I mean, is it flash played mobs? Like, I don't know if it's played as bad as like planking or, you know, some dumb thing like that.
But, sure, sure.
But I think flash mobs, Drench Wildfire says he thinks they died in 2009 or so. I mean, that does feel like about the last time I was hearing about them in a major way.
Feels about right, yeah.
Yeah. And today, no one's doing them now. I mean, why would you? Right in the middle of Delta COVID. You're like, hey, you know what we ought to do? Let's all cram into a bus and sing.
Exactly. Yeah. Listen, you can do those choreographed dance moves 6 feet apart wearing masks. Totally can. Totally fine.
You can socially distance your planking. So get it on. Get it going. And
according to DJ Stangle, TikTok brought back flash mobs.
Boo.
With Natasha Bedingfield. The singer Natasha Bedingfield? Really?
She a singer?
She is.
She known for her singing?
She is. And this was a rap song that she apparently commandeered into a flash mob, by my guess. Okay.
TikTok is a place where the next big thing is dictated by people who typically gather for nothing at all. Rony Boney's dance became popular after footage of the choreography done. Zubba Zubba. Let's see.
This article, Rony Boney. I love this Rony Boney.
This article makes it.
Here he comes now, say Rony Boney. I think it's Rony Boy.
Is that the name? It's not Rony Boney? Okay.
No, but I think I want Rony Boney to be my new rap name myself. I think that's enough of a change that I could commandeer that one.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah. But yeah, like, you know, whatever. Trends on TikTok are numerous. And perhaps they'll...
Everybody wants to start a trend on TikTok. You want to be a trendsetter.
Yeah.
Not a trend follower.
Yeah. But you all end up doing it anyway, don't you? You see one guy do it, and then the rest of you feel like you got to do it. You dirty, dirty bastards.
Rony Boney.
Anyway, so there's that. Let's have a show. We got all sorts of shit. Yeah. I noticed you seemed to be having a good time last night. I was jealous.
I did. I went to a wine tasting with the folks, with Barry and Bobby Ann, and it was really cool. It was this place over here in Denver called Balistrary Vineyard, and we had the bar basically to ourselves, so it was a nice little socially distant thing.
Nice.
They gave us a little booklet. Basically, it was a legal sheet folded in half that listed all their wines that we were going to be tasting with kind of little descriptions. But we had a vintner there who was pouring our beakers. So basically we had our wine glasses, but then we had a beaker in front of us because of COVID protocols. Right. He couldn't pour the wine directly into the vessel that we drank out of. So he had to pour it into the beaker, and then we picked up the beaker and poured it into our wine glasses.
Nice. The story would only be better if this was the Muppet beaker, but go ahead.
And these were like little 1 ounce pours, so not very much. And we did try about 20 different wines, so 20 ounces of wine, in all different, ranging from whites, or what they are. They have orange wines, they don't have whites, because they keep the skins in on the fermentation process. So it changes the color and adds a little bit more tannin to even the whites. Usually white wines are far less tannin or even no tannin compared to red wines, which have a lot of it and can sometimes give people headaches.
Sure.
But they keep the skins for their whites, so that it adds a little bit of extra depth to the flavor and kind of turns the color a little bit orange.
Do you get chunks? No.
Okay. It's always filtered. Like there's no chunks at all.
Good.
Or chunks or chunks.
Chunk free. Okay. Great.
That's right. Chunk free.
Yeah.
So we had a whole bunch, and basically what we would do is, you know, when you do a wine tasting, you're thinking, oh, maybe I'll take a couple bottles home with me. And so on this little form that they gave us, this little booklet, there was a little space next to each wine where we could make a little note and say, oh, yeah, this one's really good, or this one's okay. Put a couple stars or a yes or a number rating or whatever. And I would put stars next to a couple of the ones that I really liked. So did the first page, flipped it open, folded it back, and then started working on the second page. And I got to the very bottom of the second page before I noticed that the booklet I had previously been used.
Oh.
And the person who, and I know the person who had this booklet before me, liked only one wine. And I know that English was probably not their first language, because written in the little square, little blank next to each wine was the word S-I.
Oh.
C.
The language that you're not necessarily speaking on the regular. Yeah.
Basically just saying, wine? Yes.
Yeah.
Was this wine? Yes.
Wow.
So at that point, I switched my rating system to C, muy bien.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be consistent. I feel you.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. Not just the Malbecs, but all the wines, not just the Argentinian wines. You know, just had a really good time. We had a little charcuterie plate with some cheeses and meats and stuff like that. Mm. And sampled a bunch of really good wine. I came home with a half a case, so really just 6 bottles of wine.
Yeah.
That'll get you through. The folks ended up, I think, with 2 full cases. They are cork dorks, as Barry put
it. Is that
Barry
what they're it. Called as cork
that's
dorks?
That's what they call themselves. I don't know if that's an official term, but I love the term cork dorks.
That's really good. That's really good. I've never heard that, but I love that. That's fantastic.
Now, it's a good thing that I had only half a case, because I had extra space in that box. Mm. For a bottle of a Chicago drink, a Chicago liqueur that Bobby Ann and Barry brought back for me from Chicago. Yeah. Something that you can really only find in Chicago for some reason. And that is the most horrible drink in the world. I say that without any sense of exaggeration or hyperbole.
Yeah.
Freaking Malort.
Yep.
They brought me back a bottle of Malort.
Of course they did. Of course they did. Why wouldn't they?
Yes.
You know? After all our talk, after all your talking about Malort, You know, you're going to have some malort. Are you going to give? Yeah. You know, you have to give it to Dave. He'll drink.
I know. I don't think Dave's ever had malort. So Dave, crazy neighbor Dave, is going to get to sample malort this weekend.
I don't have time for your crazy neighbor antics.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I love that. That's our new crazy neighbor reference.
Yeah. Anytime Dave comes up. I got you covered over here with a little button I can push.
God, I almost want a t-shirt. This is, I don't want any more of your crazy neighbor antics, and I'll just wear it over there every once in a while. And
that's a great idea. All right, well, that's cool. Though they're such nice human beings. I miss them. I miss seeing them.
They really are. They also brought me something else, Scott. And
Please tell me you're going to do it. Please.
Today? I won't do it today. We'll do it tomorrow.
All right,
They also brought me something else, Scott, based on a comment I made during an episode of the show, and we were talking about a news story came up about a new line of swimwear for men called the Brokini.
Yeah, I remember this.
And it's like, it's not the Borat, it's like a bikini bottom with like a toga strap that comes up from the bottom. Yeah. And goes up over the shoulder and then back down to,
it's like a stretched out bikini, almost like a bikini bottom that's like elongated.
Well, stretched out, but it's got, but I mean, it has that weird strap for some reason. There's really no reason to have the strap for a guy. Like there's no, unless you have suffer from no ass at all, your butt will hold up your bikini bottoms just fine.
This is good to know.
Yes,
because at some point I'd really like to see Brian in this thing. Is that what we're
going
to get?
Well, you will at some point. However, I will spare the chat room. I came out of the shower this morning and said, all right, I got to try this thing on. And I still put on underwear.
Yeah.
Because you know, I'm not a Neanderthal here.
Right.
And I said, all right, let's try this thing on. And so I put this thing on. And this is custom made. This is not... they did not go to the store and find this. Bobby Ann made this herself, from sparkly red, white, and blue star spandex material.
Do you think she's like working on it, needling it, and going, this is where his chode will go?
Like that? I imagine that was, she probably had to force that thought from her mind.
Because she had to work down in there, man. I mean, even Michelangelo had to work on David's wiener for like a good couple hours. Yeah,
exactly, right. That's true. And he had to sit there and say, I'm tapping out a wiener out of stone. I'm tapping out a wiener, making a wiener.
Could you shut the door? I'm tapping out a wiener. A little privacy, please, while I tap out this wiener.
Exactly. Anyway. So, but sure enough, this thing amazingly fits. She had no guide to work on. Besides, you know, like a rough estimate of my size and a typical XL kind of thing, I guess. But it fit well, probably too well.
Yeah.
I'll also be wearing bike shorts under this thing if I wear it on the show. And I think I will be wearing a t-shirt. Because I'm not,
I feel you. I wouldn't do it. I'd not do this at all. This would not, I wouldn't even come close to this. So the fact that you're willing to have any sacrifice in this way is admirable.
That's right. Exactly.
That's amazing. Yes. So, is it like, so if I compared it to like one of those wrestler things, you know, like, Andre the Giant wears like a big, it's like that.
Yeah.
Sort of like that.
Yeah. It's okay. Kind of like, well, let's see. I mean, do we have a Brokini? Is there a photo? Yeah, right here, actually. I will just put this. I mean, basically, when you Google Brokini.
You get them?
You get them.
Let's see. Brokini. Oh, my. Now, is it the over-the-shoulder strap?
Yeah, it's the over-the-shoulder strap.
Now I can picture it fully.
The single over-the-shoulder strap.
Why are they wearing these? Just as a general...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. Oh, now, see, that thing you showed me yesterday, now I can totally see it in the shape of this thing.
Right, exactly. Now you can kind of see how it fits in all this business.
Chat room, I'll put one up so you can just see this one, and then you can Google it.
Yeah, and I will tell you that I don't look nearly as good as this guy.
Well, I'm going to argue that guy looks
Peter
worse.
His Peter Tork haircut and his Brokini.
I'm going to argue he looks worse wearing a Brokini than he might if he just wore a pair of damn trunks, but, you know.
Well, yeah, agreed. Yes, for sure.
So there it is, chat. Now, don't put it on the other way, right? You don't want to upside down that thing. It's where the little straps
definitely don't
want to.
There's going to be some chafing and some riding and some pulling stuff out. Plus, I just don't know which hole my head would go through.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. How about this? Let's see.
It's flip a problem.
Horizontal, vertical. Whoops, I just changed shoulders. I was trying to flip it upside down and make people gross out, but it didn't work. Oh. All right.
Kind of like what you did with Adele's face.
Yeah, there you have it. Well, all right. That's exciting. Exciting developments in Brian's life.
Yes.
Thanks to Barry Ann and Bobby Fultz. So there you go.
So we'll wear it tomorrow for funsies.
All right. I got a question. This is an ethics question. We're going to have an ethics class here this morning. Everybody put your pencils down, your number two pencils down. We're going to talk about ethics for a moment.
Sure.
And I'm going to ask Brian's advice in this case because he's also a neighbor. Now, he's got a crazy neighbor, and my neighbors aren't crazy, but I have this question. And I think I may have brought this up before, but now it's becoming kind of a problem because the people that are living next door right now are heavily using their hot tub a lot.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which is fine. It's great. If you have a hot tub, you should use it. But the people before them who actually built the hot tub and then lived there barely used it. They were hardly ever in that thing. And when they left and sold, these new people, they came in and went, whoa, we're going to be in the hot tub all the time. So it is not uncommon for me just as a random moment of I got to take the dog out. Mm-hmm. They'll be in their hot tub. And here's here's where all the ethics come in.
Okay.
It's not their fault and it's not our fault. But when the hot tub was built, there was a pine tree that was in our yard on our side of the fence that was a big tree and it kind of provided a ton of coverage for their whole yard. It was a great big older tree. The problem is it got eaten by or got infested by, I forgot the name of it, but some kind of beetle that goes in and just eats the core of these trees and kills them.
Okay.
And we couldn't kill it with pest control or anything. And so the tree died. And even though we let it go a whole nother summer to see if we could just deal with it, it just was dead. It was starting to turn into like dry, you know, almost a fire hazard kind of tree. And so
we had a tree. It died.
It died. I don't know why it died. Anyway, so we pull it out. That's what we did. We yanked it. We had Richard, my brother or wife's brother, Richard, came out here and did some manly work and helped me get it out.
Some manly work.
Yeah. He's a big buff guy. So we get that out of there. And now if I just barely just even walk out onto the back porch from an elevated position, because you drop down to the main porch from there.
Yep.
I have full view of hot tub land over there.
Sure.
100% of it. Like there's no, let's just say they're out there and they're nudies. Let's say they're being nude.
Sure. They're not.
Fine.
They haven't, right?
That I know of, but let's say they did. They would be in full view of me doing that. And I'm not trying to look. I don't want to look. I'm not trying to bother them with their privacy because I think they should have
it. You shouldn't have to change your behavior because a neighbor has a hot tub in the back of their yard.
Right. But so what
I feel like that's kind of where you're going with this,
what
right?
should I do? Should I just... Because that's all the time.
Don't stand there and leer. You wouldn't. I don't think so anyway. But don't stand there and go... you guys wearing clothes under that hot bubbly water.
I can't see behind that bubble. You won't stand up just a little bit. Yeah, I'm not.
If privacy was a concern for them, then they would put up a little like pergola with a canvas shade on one side or something. Right. I mean, they could easily do that and have a little privacy, and then they could, if it were a problem for them. So if it's not a problem for them,
yeah.
I mean, definitely shouldn't be a problem for you regardless. You shouldn't have to walk out on your porch and feel weird about looking in one direction.
I guess I feel weird when I walk out and go, all right, let's go poop. Everybody poop. Let's poop. Like just a lot of dog poop talk, you know, because I got three dogs and I'm trying to get them to all take a dump.
As long as there's a dog with you, yeah. But if you're going out alone, then, you should feel weird about that.
Now, sometimes I will go out alone. And I'm just
and
wanting
say everybody
to chill.
Poop?
No, I'm just going out to chill because I'm like, it's night. I don't want to read a comic outside. Yeah. Something like that. So I'll go outside, open a comic, sit in the chair, and then I'll hear them get in the hot tub.
Sure.
And now I'm like, Should I make a little noise just so they know that someone's around, so they're not like saying stuff, or, you know, not that I can hear them that well over the hum of the thing or any of that, but you know what I mean?
Is that what you're thinking you need to do with the,
yeah, like
so what?
Like, whoo, what a night we're having. And, or I don't know, whatever I'd say.
They're fully aware that they have neighbors. They're, you know, they should be anyway. They're fully aware that they are not out in a log cabin in the middle of the mountains with nobody for miles.
Yeah.
So if they say something stupid, like, oh, look at your wieners growing under the bubbly water, then that's on them. And also, it's good show content if they were to say
that's
that.
That's a good point. Arcaduteus, or however you say your name in the chat, says maybe they're waiting for you. No. They're from Oklahoma. They don't want me.
You're on friendly terms with them, right? So you can go, hey, how you doing?
Oh, yeah. I wave all the time. Yeah. I don't know. It just feels like they're in a vulnerable, in the hot tub position, and I'm walking around in my, you know.
Fair choice.
You know, I know.
And they could so easily put something. They probably have a wooden deck around it or something, right?
Yeah, they have a, it's not like a deck, but there's, yeah, you're right. Maybe it is kind of a deck, but they have a thing around it, yeah. And it's not like they're right there, like we're living in Britain and everybody's backyards or gardens, as they call them, are like bumping up next to each other. It's not like that,
right,
but
right.
I don't know. It's just a weird thing. And
Yeah,
I mean.
I know. I would think the same way. And it's like when the crazy neighbors are out and maybe they've got a family over or something, and yeah, we're out on our back patio as well, I avoid looking over there to make eye contact to not make it look like I'm Oh, what are you guys doing over there? Boy, that food sure smells good. What is that, veggie lasagna?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. There's a feeling of
not,
like, just,
right.
I don't want to be seen. I don't want to bug. I don't want them to even think about it. Like,
sure.
I don't know. But we don't live
in
that.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. And I would do the same thing.
Yeah. I had a security camera out there. We took it out after the tree came down because of this reason. I didn't want to have a camera facing somebody's hot tub. It was weird.
But, yeah, is there a way to put it back up and have it face a different way?
Yeah, we just changed the location, so it shoots like the long way down, which is just my yard. Doesn't catch any outside stuff. So,
yep.
Anyway, it's all very weird, and
They should just put up a little. If they want privacy, then it's such an easy half day task to get some wood. Put up a little. Well, it's more than probably a half day task if you want to do it right. Do up like a nice pergola.
Sure, but you could get one of those, like, you know, it's on a stand, it pops up, it opens up, you know.
Oh, sure,
trade shade, sure. Or whatever. You could do something like that if you wanted to.
a little trade show.
Yeah,
one of those trade show canvas things you pull down.
Sure, why not? I could. Sure. You know what I could do? I could go replant a tree and give it 20 years, and then they got all the coverage they need.
You could. I mean, you could get a tree that you know is. Not
a piece of shit
a
covered in
seedling or sapling. You could probably get a mid-sized tree and put it up there.
That's true.
If you were worried about it, but again, that's
I'm not.
If
really.
You don't want a tree there,
that sounds like money. That sounds like money and labor. Also, I don't want to do any of that. You know,
right? Right. Yeah. No, if you don't want a tree there, you shouldn't have to put a tree there.
All right. Awkward glances. It is. That's the new norm. Yeah, that's the new normal.
And just throw out a hey hand check. Ha ha. Gotcha.
Nah.
You know, so stuff like that. Like little. You know, play it up. Have some fun. Have some fun stuff to say to them. Like
sometimes they're back there looking like they're asleep. So I should go.
Oh, really?
Wakey, wakey, hands off, snakey, or something like that.
There you go. Hey, when's the soup going to be done? You know, stuff like that. Just
yeah. Why not? Or do dog whistles and have their dogs go crazy. They have three dogs. That'd be cool. That's not a bad idea.
There you go. That's
right.
Great.
I'll fill you guys in on whatever happens. Of course, all of it's potential show content. So you know. We always cultivate that when we can.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Brian, it's time for the news, so I'm going to push this button that will make it official. It's time for the news brought to you by...
Brought to you by Soundography. Got a brand new episode. It's another You Gotta Listen to This episode. A single album that either one of our friends or a fan of the show, a patron, makes us listen to. And this is our final one of these You Gotta Listen to This. We have a special guest for this one. Tobias Hieta makes us listen to some Norwegian symphonic metal. Probably can guess what band I'm talking about. And we enjoyed it. But How much did we enjoy it? Well, you'll just have to listen to the show to find out. Soundography.com.
Nice. You're going to get more. You'll never get more Norwegian metal than you will through that show over time. I'm telling you. That's the place
through
to
Soundography,
get it.
You think?
Yeah,
really?
I think that's the place you get it because Hammond is always sneaking it in. He's always trying to get
He's the prog rocker, man. I think this is our first Norwegian metal we've had on Soundography. Now, on Beyond the Playlist, he's had quite a bit of Norwegian metal.
Yeah, I think he has a taste for it. Symphonic metal. And I think it's gross. Yeah. Just kidding. It's do whatever you got to do, Hammond. You be you.
And yes, it is Nightwish, Ikor. 100%
Oh,
Nightwish.
My gosh. It is I know Nightwish.
What? Wow. Nightwish? What?
Yeah, Nightwish. I remember for a while they were supposed to be the cool thing I was supposed to check out, and I never.
They are a cool thing you got to check out. And yeah. We get some history on the band. Apparently there was a lot of strife between their original lead vocalist and their current lead vocalist, who is, in my opinion and the opinion of our guest, far better. Yeah. Yeah, go check out this episode. We actually listened to an album that's kind of it's a live album, so it's kind of a live and greatest hits, which kind of breaks our rule usually for, you got to listen to this, the unwritten rule. But we let it go through because it was so good.
There's a little tiny man in that band, a little tiny man at the end.
Look, oh, is there really?
Yeah, look, chat, here, I'll put it in the Discord. Look at this little tiny man. Here, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, send it to me too.
Yeah, here you go. Incoming. He's just a little little tiny man over there. See him?
A little tiny man. Yeah.
He's just chilling.
Oh, the guy on the right?
Yeah. He's just like, hey. And the rest
of
them are probably...
they're Norwegian.
Like,
they're floating a few inches above the ground. He's wearing heavy shoes.
Right. The copious amounts of alcohol and drugs make their skin less translucent than when they were originally floating, but they still float.
Well, plus that lead singer, I believe, is from the Netherlands.
Oh, okay.
They're Finnish. They're not Norwegian. They're Finnish.
Oh, they're
okay.
Finnish? Oh, even more. Finnish. So they're totally translucent then. They float a few inches above the ground. They're translucent. They know mage powers. That's what they do.
And she is still from the Netherlands.
And that language is hard to penetrate, not because it's a hard language, but because it's a freaking magical origin and comes from like the ancient elves, right?
The druids.
Those cool druids. All right. Here's this first story for you. A man was rushed to an ER. That's a emergency room in a hospital.
Sure, an ER. Uh-huh. I saw the show.
With beans in his peen.
With beans in his peen?
Yeah.
Was his name Dr. Seuss?
No, but it should have been.
Did he go to see Dr. Seuss? Tell me how you got the beans in your peen. Well, Doc, I don't know how I got beans in my peen. They were in my spleen, but then I used a machine
peen.
And it pulled...
I used a machine to put them in my peen.
Oh. I do not like these beans in my peen. I do not like them, Dr. Green.
Oh, that's really good. I want the whole book.
Oh, my God. I want this book. I want to make this book right now.
Yeah, why don't we make this book? Okay, so this guy, Paul sent this in, by the way. I just want to give Paul some credit. Thank you for thinking
Paul.
Of us. Yeah.
Gosh, what made you think we'd like this story, Paul?
Yeah,
jeez.
Yeah, weird. Weird, Paul. Weird. So anyway, this guy's rushed to the thing. Here's the deal. This is one of those articles that's written like someone's making an essay. But anyway, this writer says, I love opening my mailbox to find generous TJ Maxx coupons. I love
what?
When my nosy neighbor brings me a scone because he baked too many and wants to peer inside my apartment. I love walking down the street and hearing a man scream in agony because he's crammed 6 kidney beans up his urethra. Ah, life's little miracles. Like
Good
I said,
Lord.
It's written like, you know, fancy schmancy. This guy's writing a column, not a story.
We asked for the news, not the weather.
Yeah, what are you doing here, buddy? Anyway, it says the aforementioned bean-filled urethra belongs to a 30-year-old Michigan man who, per the Daily Mail, inserted the beans for sex stuff.
Mm.
Whatever.
Rowan Atkinson could not be reached for comment.
Yeah, it seems like a weird thing, but... Anyway, the Daily Mail explains that the man was initially planning to express the beans. I hate that. Does that just sound horrible?
Yeah. Does that sound like...
Ting, 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 ting. hitting like a brass bucket or something. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, he says he was trying to do that. Okay. When natural emission failed, The man,
expressing an omission.
Yeah, an omission. All my favorite words. The man tried to pluck the beans out with tweezers. When that failed, he went to the hospital. There he confessed that he was a fairly experienced bean inserter, but had never attempted to utilize this many beans at once. So what do you think? Should...
like 50 Shades of No is what I think.
It sounds horrendous.
Yeah, there is... Listen, I feel like I'm a pretty open-minded guy.
Sure. No judgment from Brian, you know?
Sure. Right. While I've never, I've never really inserted anything to any of my orifices, that honestly would be the last place I'd put something.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of that is an exit-only zone for me.
Yeah. That's like, nope. Not even
unloading. Not even no loading. It's a no loading zone.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I've heard things. I've read Chuck Palahniuk short stories about stuff.
Yeah. I'm just wondering why you'd. Okay. I'm going to ask a hard. This is a hard question. I'm going to ask everybody in the universe. All right. Okay. Here's the hard question.
What's your question?
Are you running out of ideas? And like, at what point did you go, we've done everything. We've done it all, dear. How about get those beans and let's go to next level? I just can't. I don't.
Oh, you know, it starts with, hey, I had a thought.
I mean, I go through this every
time.
You know,
you were saying we need to spice up our sex life a little bit.
Yeah. Here, how about some beans?
How about some beans?
No, in your
Oh no, honey.
No, honey,
let's go kidney.
Yeah, get the big ones, dear. Get the big ones. I'm allergic to soy, so make sure they're kidney. All right. Anyway, that's gross. We'll move on to the story now.
Yeah.
Speaking of a guy who probably tried this,
let's start with lentils, dude.
Oh, yeah. And then work your way up. Exactly. Oh, little tiny lentil beans. That I could deal with.
TVZ fun. Did I ever tell you about the time I put a number of beans in my urethra? Oh, that wins. I don't know why that wins, but it wins, TVZ.
That's really funny. Yeah. All right. I'm having too much fun here. Okay. Here's a story about a guy who probably had beans in his ween at one point.
Sure.
Hugh Hefner. It's not really about him, but... You can be buried next to Hugh Hefner and Marilyn Monroe, meaning nestled between the two.
Yeah, yeah. Well, next to them. He's right next to her, so there's not a space between them.
Oh, you have to be on one side or the other, I guess.
Yeah, we've been there. We've been to Pierce Brothers. That's it. Yeah, Pierce Brothers Westwood Village Memorial Park in L.A.
Oh, wow.
We've been to this cemetery, and because Tina is a huge Marilyn Monroe fan, so... Years ago when we went to LA, that was one of the things that she really wanted to do, was go and see. And this is where a ton of musicians, Frank Zappa's buried there. The Velvet Fog, whose name I can't remember all of his. I remember him as the Velvet Fog.
Mel Torme, right?
Mel Torme, yeah. Don Knotts, Sam Simon, or no, maybe not Sam Simon. One of the Simpsons writers who actually has... like a really funny gravestone, I think, with a dog sitting next to it, a stone dog sitting next to it.
That's adorable.
Anyway, we've been there, and it is a huge point of contention with Tina. I can't believe that Hugh Hefner would pay to be put next to Marilyn Monroe. What a dick. You know, like, basically she... Like, you shouldn't be able to do that. Like, say, oh, I'm going to be stuck right next to Marilyn Monroe for eternity.
This was my plan all along.
Exactly. Yes. It's Tina was not happy about that whole situation.
That's hilarious. Is there someone else she would prefer be next to him, as she ever said?
Like, next to him or next to her?
Next to her.
She died first. I mean, yeah, like, put James Dean or put other actors of that era. Even one of her husbands, or guys that she was, you know, Joe DiMaggio or Norman Mailer, or I'm trying to remember. Well, those guys were attached to her, weren't they?
Yeah,
I think
at some point as writers
connected
and
to
stuff.
Her at some point.
Yeah,
but not friggin' Hugh Hefner. It's like, oh yeah, JFK. Put JFK next to her.
Yeah, put him next to JFK. Yeah. We all pretty much know what was going on there. So
I don't think Jackie Onassis would have any problem with that.
She's fine. She's still alive or she dead?
She's alive, isn't she?
Is Jackie Onassis Kennedy lady alive?
Former Jackie Onassis. Oh no, she died. Wow, she died way back in 1994. Wow. Okay.
Oh shit.
Wow, I thought she was still alive. Okay, good. Well, we won't be killing her by talking about her on the show then. That's
no,
good.
We will not be doing that.
can't blame us for that one, folks. That was back in 1994.
Well, for $2 million, you can have the one that's open. So,
okay, and it's next to the two of them?
Yeah, it's the next to the two of them. It's proximity, anyway, for all eternity. And apparently Don Knotts down the row going, hey, Andy, Andy! Ah!
Yeah, he is. He's totally, yeah. He has a cool gravestone. He's got, like, etched in his gravestone are photos, or not photo, like, etchings of him in all of his most famous roles. So, of course, Barney Fife, but then you've got Mr. Limpet, you've got...
Oh, look at that. That's
Furley
great.
Or whatever. I mean, you've got a bunch. It's like a montage. It's a Don Knotts montage on his.
I'm looking at it now. This stuff. Is really cool. Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a Don Knotts fan, you'd be super into this. Let's see. Oh, yeah. So that's there's the Barney Fife's very prominent. I see Hot Lead and Cold Feet Don Knotts up top. Love that.
Yeah. Right.
As a kid. Mr. Limpet, like you said. What's the space guy one?
I can't remember the space one.
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, they're not going to use his. Wasn't he on that? What was the movie that had the town that was in black and white, and the rest of the world was color? I want to say Kirsten Dunst. Maybe?
Yeah, that was and Spider-Man was in.
Welcome
it.
To Pleasantville.
Pleasantville, just Pleasantville.
Pleasantville. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Oh, just Pleasantville. Okay.
Yeah, and it had Spider-Man or original Spider or what's his name?
Right,
Tobey Maguire.
Right, Maguire, Tobey Maguire. Yeah, yeah, and it. Right, they're not using that photo.
No.
I really don't see Mr. Furley on there either.
No, and I want to see that fish when he's a fish in the Disney thing. I want to see him looking like a fish. That'd be cool.
Yeah, the Mr. Limpet. The wasn't Limpet, that one? But or the is
actual,
that a different one?
But the actual fish form. You know what I mean? Not
yes,
the live action
right,
form.
Right, right, yeah.
I want the little fish man.
No, but how cool is that? Like, I want a collage of my greatest hits on my gravestone. All right. Could I get this $2 million gravestone next to Marilyn Monroe and Hugh Hefner and change my name to F. Hugh Hefner? So first initial F, middle name Hugh, last name Hefner.
Yeah, do that. I would approve your idea.
Can I go fund me this yeah. project? So I will change my name, my legal name, to F. Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
And get that that crypt right next to Hugh Hefner and Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
And Tina will adore me forever for doing that. Yeah. I will forever be known as F. Hugh Hefner.
Yeah, it'll never be a problem. It'll all be good.
It
all
worked
the time.
For Murray Abraham. Yeah. Well, I guess it didn't work for Murray Abraham.
What did I see him in the other day? And every time he came on, I go F. Murray Abraham, and my wife was like, "We're not going to watch this anymore."
I hope it was Mythic Quest because that's a great show.
No, I heard he was in that though. Oh, yeah. It's when we were binging Homeland. And he was in that. He was an FBI director guy in Homeland. Mm-hmm. And so every time he come on screen, like there's Claire Danes doing her thing, bah, 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 rocking around, whatever, making bad life choices. And then, you know, redhead guy from Band of Brothers walking around doing his shit.
Right.
And then in comes F. Murray Abraham, and everything's quiet in the living room. We're all watching it. And I'd go, F. Murray Abraham. And Kim's like, we're not watching
the show. Of course he wrote in on.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he's great, and he's really good in Mythic Quest. You need to check that show out because people should quit lumping it as a video game show. It's not. It's an office comedy with like your typical office.
They just happen characters. To be in the business of that, and it's not.
Right,
I've heard that same thing from other people, which I really like. That's exactly. the case. This is about inner office relationships in an industry, but the industry's not. The key is the characters, and that's
exactly. Yeah. It's kind of like Superstore. It's not like. Oh, well, you know, it's a show about Target and Walmart and what it's like to work there. No, it's a show. It's an office comedy that just happens to take place in a giant superstore.
Exactly. And everyone should be watching that as well. It's very good. All right. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. A little bit more on this. So you got Natalie Wood, Truman Capote.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Two spots down from Monroe with Hugh Hefner in between them. There's this granite plot in question, which was purchased in 1997 by theatrical composer and lyricist Jerry Herman, known for his work as composer for Hello, Dolly. Hello, Dolly.
Hello, Dolly.
Ma'am, Mame.
Mommy. How I love you. How I love you, Mommy.
Lacage Folles.
Lacage Folles. Lacage Folles.
I don't know, again, French kills me every time. Following his death, he ended up buried next to his mother in New Jersey. So that's why this plot never got used.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, wow. So somebody bought this. It's prime real estate. And then gave it up.
Yep. Yep.
To be buried next to his mother in New Jersey.
And his goddaughter, Jane Dorian, told the Wall Street Journal, quote, "That plot is next to the two sexiest people that were ever alive. Oh, I'd like to raise my hand and have an objection about one of them. One of them was kind of a weird pervert in a freaking day coat.
I think you're confusing sexiest with sexist.
I sipped that tea the exact wrong moment.
Perfect. I waited. I saw that I had this one. It was a chance I had to take.
Oh, I can actually. It was coming out my nose, and I can smell. I can now smell the tea. Oh my gosh, that was funny. I disagree on the Hefner second part.
That's the two sexiest people.
I mean, there are women in the chat today, and I don't know, maybe some men that are into the dudes. Can you guys tell me? Do you think Hugh Hefner was ever, even in his back in his like, you know, cool cat 60s days where he's walking around his apartment with his stupid pipe and everything? Like, was any of that ever attractive? I mean, no, right? Hell no, everyone's saying.
Yeah.
But he was definitely
maybe they're talking about Natalie Wood, because Natalie Wood was beautiful.
She was gorgeous. Natalie Wood.
So
was
maybe if no, because he really does. The Herman's goddaughter really says there's Marilyn Monroe, Hugh Hefner, then Jerry's.
Yeah, and then Jerry.
He's next to the two sexiest people were ever alive. My God, it's like get this woman's eyes checked, because it's not even just like, you know, the two most popular people, or even two very attractive people, the two sexiest people that were ever alive.
Yeah,
that's
crazy.
That is an honorific that it never should be applied.
Natalie Wood would have been near 80 now.
Oh wow,
she died at 43 in 1981 while filming, not on the set, but they were filming that brain fart. What was it called?
Brainstorm.
Which I loved. Loved that movie. But so they kept using weird shots of her in that. And I remember even as a kid thinking something was off. But then didn't Robert Wagner get in trouble for killing
Robert
her?
Robert Wagner did. Christopher Walken was on the boat. But had nothing to do with it, he says. I mean, I believe him. I believe Christopher Walken.
I mean, what's he going to... I mean, what would he do? He was never going to push her in. There is a reason he was on the boat. They were all in that movie and we're all sort of having fun and celebrating or whatever. But Wagner, I don't trust that guy. Something about him.
Exactly. When they met, it was murder.
Most foul.
I'm going to confess something, Scott.
Do it.
I hated this, and I hated that I did this. So I told you I watched the first episode of the new Fantasy Island on Fox, just to see what hot garbage it was.
Oh, no.
Apple TV said, hey, new episode of Fantasy Island's up. You want to watch it? It was Sunday morning. I just watched a bunch of episodes of Superstore while I was making breakfast and eating stuff. I'm like, all right, put it on.
Is it just as bad? Did it get better?
This episode featured the guy who played... Do you remember... on Lost, it does feel like this is going to be a, you know, like everybody from Lost come do this show. Do you remember so he was the guy in the video that they saw.
I know who you mean. Japanese actor.
And he was like,
he's great.
He is great. Yes. And I can't remember his character. Hanzo.
Something. Wasn't he in? He was in the Devs thing that I love, that we love so much.
He was in Devs as well. Yes. Yeah, yes. He was.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Anyway, so he had been living on the island dealing with grief, and his deal was that he could sleep for 5 years at a time, but he'd have to wake up and be awake for 48 hours. So he was already on the island in a little place.
Oh. That's an interesting idea.
He woke up and said, all right, well, let Rourke know I'm awake. And so she hangs out with him and says, and he's still dealing with the grief. Do you want to make the wake up permanent now? Nope. I'm going to go back to sleep as soon as this 48 hours is over. I can't deal with the grief.
Yeah.
and then she finds a dog for him and he decides to stay alive, like to stay awake. And then the other fantasy was a couple who didn't get off the plane like normal people. No, they parachuted down from the plane because they're thrill seekers and they're looking. Their fantasy is the ultimate thrill. Yeah. And so Rourke pulls a whole Freaky Friday body swap on them so that she's in his body and he's in her body. And boy, the hijinks.
Oh, man.
The whole the hijinks. And what was I going to say? It's just so dumb.
It sounds so dumb. It sounds terrible. I'm sad that actor Slumming in this. He's great. And he was also on The Expanse. He played...
Yes!
What's his name? He's great in that. Can't think of his name. What's his name?
Yeah, I wish I could remember his... I can't remember his name. You have it up in front of you then?
No, probably. I'm going to bring it up. Let's see here. Because I want to know. We have to know now. We've given this guy all this airtime and we haven't... said shit
he's
about
the guy
name.
Who originally set up the Dharma Initiative.
All right, I think I found it. It is no, that's Enright. Hold on. Oh man, why is this? Why right, is this so hard to find him?
Right here.
There's no.
Shit. Let's see. Oliver Hanzo? No, not Oliver Hanzo. That's who I was thinking was Oliver Hanzo, but it wasn't because. He was the head, but didn't.
I'm looking. It's. I can't. Why is this so hard to find?
There's three people who are like, oh yeah, I hope they figure this out, and then there's a bunch of people who are saying, oh come on, move on, yeah,
move past it. But I. Sometimes you have to know. You know.
I know. It's going to drive me nuts until I know. So
I can't believe
Pierre Chang, Dr. Chang.
That's it.
Okay. Thank you, Necrosack, for finally. There he is right there.
There he is, yeah.
Played by Francois Chau.
That's his name. It's a weird French name. He's Canadian, I think.
Yes.
That guy's great.
He is great. That guy is excellent in everything that he does.
There's
his
character.
I was going to say, is he going to be in Shang-Chi? But no, that's just another, that's like Fall TV Movie Guide.
Oh.
Lost, The Tick, The Expanse.
They're both him and... Zhang from your Shang-Chi guy. I can't think of his name all of a sudden. Anyway, he's in he was also in The Expanse.
Really cool.
Small role, but was in
yeah, so all right, so one more thing about this stupid show. So during this whole little body swap deal, the woman in the guy's body goes to a bar on the island and a bunch of says the wrong thing to a couple of guys and says, well, I'm tough because I'm a guy now, and gets his block knocked off.
Okay.
Are these people in the bar also having a fantasy on Fantasy Island?
You can't ask those questions. That's
is it their fantasy to sit in a bar and have a bar fight? Or
what I always assumed was back in the old one is that he always had all these people set up kind of like, not like Holodeck, but or Westworld, but kind of like that, where people were hired to be ready for whatever,
like actors or kind of thing, right?
Truman
and also
show.
Yeah. Let's say you're how do you take work off to go to Fantasy Island? Do you say, oh, it's going to be exactly 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Right? Do you know that your fantasy is going to be fulfilled in exactly 2 weeks or 9 days? Or do they give you a time frame? How do you know when to book your ticket back?
Right. Right. Plus, you know that in real life, these would all be like gnarly sex fantasies anyway.
Oh, it totally would. Exactly. Like, oh my gosh, it's another stepmother? Yeah. Oh, for Pete's sake.
The last thing you're going to do is...
Bring in Nancy. Hey, Nancy, you got to play another stepmother. who just caught her stepson masturbating and is gonna teach him.
You know, that's what it would have been like that's all it would be.
The top five list on porn tube or whatever it is, you porn.
Yeah, this is like OnlyFans after the change, I guess. Yeah, it's so weird. All right, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, I have it on good authority that Justin Robert Young will be joining us. And that'll be great because, you know, Justin, it's Tuesday. Come on now.
Yeah.
So that's coming up and some other stuff after that. So stick around. Brian, you want to do us a break song of some kind, please?
By golly, I do. And we're going to experience the Mandela effect right now. Why? Because the artist we're about to play is a guy named Mandela. He is a friend of Jamie's, TMS Mashups Jamie, and sent his song through Jamie to us. And oh, I'm digging this thing so much. This is so good. The song's called Lifetime. You can find it on YouTube, Mandela YouTube. He's getting ready to release his first EP or release an EP called The L, which comes out October 1st, 2021. This is the first single from that EP. I loved it the second I heard it. So I was so glad that Jamie sent this over. Here's Mandela and Lifetime.
It's a team, yeah, yeah. Butterflies feeling like a team. Got class, got style, yeah. Tell me you gon' stay for a lifetime. Listen, girl, it's been a minute. We started this race, I wanna finish. Your love makes me stronger, you my fitness. You know you stole my heart, I'll be a witness, yeah, yeah. Tell me you will stay for a lifetime. I know it's been a struggle, call it halftime. We're not perfect, perfect for each other. You're more than just my friend, you are my lover. It's been crazy from the start, girl, you know you stole my heart. Mona Lisa, work of art, yeah, yeah. It's been crazy from the start, girl, you know you stole my heart. Mona Lisa, work of art. Tell me you gon' stay for a lifetime. Girl, you a boss, you a queen. My ride or die squad, it's a team, yeah, yeah. Butterflies feeling like a teen. Got class, got style, yeah. Tell me you gon' stay for a lifetime. Girl, you a boss, you a queen. My ride or die squad, it's a team, yeah, yeah. Butterflies feeling like a teen. Got class, got style, yeah. Tell me you gon' stay for a lifetime. It hasn't been so easy, but we sailed through the good, the bad, and ugly. I know sometimes it's hard for you to read me. Not going anywhere, girl, please believe me, yeah, yeah. Don't you know I'm so committed? Put together right, you and I so fitted. Put a ring so nobody try and hit it. This is us, this is us. Don't be all up in our business. It's been crazy from the start, girl, you know you stole my heart. Mona Lisa, work of art, yeah, yeah. It's been crazy from the start, girl, you know you stole my heart. Mona Lisa, work of art. Tell me you gon' stay for a lifetime. Girl, you a boss, you a queen. My ride or die squad, it's a team, yeah, yeah. Butterflies feeling like a teen. Got class, got style, yeah. Tell me you gon' stay for a lifetime. Girl, you a boss, you a queen. My ride or die squad, it's a team, yeah, yeah. Butterflies feeling like a teen. Got class, got style, yeah. Tell me you gon' stay for a lifetime.
The president also is expected to discuss his agenda for the remaining 17 months of his pregnancy.
And I love factories. And I love nude women.
The Morning Stream. Look out, Muppets!
If you thought that sounded like David Lynch, you'd be correct. That was David Lynch.
Oh, that was David Lynch, yeah. Who likes factories and
he
nude women?
Factories and nude women, apparently.
Okay, all right. Hey, good on you there, buddy.
Yeah, do your best. Hey, that song, who was that again?
Oh, yeah, that song that we just heard was Lifetime by Mandela. Make sure to check out his brand new EP coming out October 1st called The L.
Ooh, It's like the L train. Is that the
L train?
Is that the reference?
Yes, actually, it is. Yeah, is probably. It?
Okay, so kind of Chicago-y L train kind of.
I don't know if he's from Chicago, but that is the nickname given to the elevated train in Chicago. Yeah, the L.
I've been on that train one time. That's when I had to go home and see my wife, and then remember that John Candy had nowhere to go on Thanksgiving, so I had to take.
Oh yeah, I remember that time. Yeah, yeah. And the song, a horrible cover of Every Time You Go Away, was playing in your head during that whole thing.
The worst cover of that song ever made. All right, I'm going to play this now. Check this out.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Joining us on the line from his studios in Austin, Texas, we have one Justin Robert Young joining us. Justin, welcome. How are you?
I don't think Ra's al Ghul ever made it off that train.
No, he never did. He never did.
I've got a particular set of skills.
Yeah, except getting off this train at the most right moment. I always wondered, in that scene, we are presuming him dead. But I always thought Nolan would figure out some way to pry him up and get him out again. Because, you know, he's a comic book character. Everyone lives forever. So why not?
Yeah, but Nolan doesn't like the spooky.
Yeah,
that's everything's got to be science explained.
Yeah.
And so I think the pit of regeneration was maybe a bridge too far for old Nolan.
Yeah. And Liam Neeson, you know, he gets out of a lot of real frisky situations. But this one, sorry, buddy. You're done.
No, being crushed by a train because Batman,
I don't have to save you.
Oh, that thing, his vocalization on that is the least, you know how you always talk about things in movies that don't hold up? I'm telling you right now, maybe if there's a top 100 of all time in Hollywood, it's in the top five of the worst decisions. It's so bad, dude. So bad.
Okay, number one, it's not even the worst vocal decision of that franchise when Bane was involved. But
I like Bane. You're insane. No, Bane was
punishment
great.
Shall be severe.
Much right, more severe.
Here's the thing. I liked both, right?
They merely inherited the darkness. I was born in it. Molded by it.
I don't know. I think that there's a line between iconic and a fine line between iconic and mockable.
Sure.
Because everybody can do an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression.
Yeah.
But the further we get away from Arnold Schwarzenegger's fame and everybody doing it and it being synonymous with being hacky or annoying, the more we're going to look back and be like, oh my God, what an iconic voice. In the same way that, what is it, Edward G. Robinson that does the
dirty man.
It was nobody living seen the G. Robinson movie, but everybody knows, bet you back in the day people were like, that sucks, why does he do that dumb thing, the meow thing, I hate it.
No, you're right, it's a thing of its time, I suppose, but I go back to it now. We watched Dark Knight not that long ago and I just thought, this is so bad.
But at the time, nobody said, oh, that silly voice Edward G. Robinson is doing, right? Because at the time when we saw
What'd you say?
Did we know that nobody was like, that's a stupid thing?
No, yeah,
you think
know.
That they said that back then?
They might have.
Back at the time?
They might have.
They were on the forums and they were like, this sucks.
did you hear that Edward G. Robinson voice in the latest talkie?
He's terrible.
He sounds ridiculous.
Yeah. Like everybody did back then. But I don't know. Here's my final take on this. Okay. The Christian Bale voice is a bad idea. But a good trilogy of films. The Ben Affleck voice modulator is a cool idea, but everything else sucks happened over there. So I wish there was a way you could go back in time and say, look, Nolan, what you need to do, take an idea from the comics. You got Batman occasionally had a little thing built into his deal to make him sound a little lower, different, hard to understand, whatever. Mm-hmm. Give him that and don't ask Christian Bale to do it, especially in front of Alfred, who knows who the F he is. Well, Alfred doesn't care. You don't go, listen, Alfred, I got it. No, he knows who you are.
Interesting choice in terms of the movie that Christopher Nolan wanted to make, because all of the Christopher Nolan movies, Bruce Wayne is the center of the story.
Right.
Right.
Batman is a thing that Bruce Wayne does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the Snyder movies, Batman is the character.
Hmm. Right.
And he occasionally he goes into hibernation as Bruce Wayne, right?
I agree.
That's very good distinction. Yes,
there's I think it almost makes sense as a character decision to be like, no, it feels weirder when Bruce Wayne is Batman, because all of this should feel weird. Yeah. He's in a rubber suit jumping around the city like a ding-dong.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Yeah. This will be a, so it's going to be interesting to see what this new thing looks like from the perspective of sort of, all right, we've done everything from, you know, the campy end to the more serious, take itself too seriously end to the kind of, now he's just one of a group of people, sort of Justice League end. Here's a chance to look at Batman kind of fresh and do it while he's younger. And he's like more freshly the new Batman. And, you know, we'll take some different kind of inspiration from the comics. Like, I actually really excited about this new direction. We'll see.
I'm excited. It feels a little Finchery, doesn't it?
A little. But this, that director, can't think of his name. He did the last two Planet of the Apes movies. He's really, he's got a great.
No, he's good. I loved both those Planet of the Apes movies. I thought they were both really good. But yeah, it feels a little Finchery, which, I mean, to be fair, would seem to be like, if David Fincher was going to do a superhero movie, you would imagine it would be.
Maybe Batman would be a good fit for him.
Yeah, know? I agree with that. I think
people in suits and screwed up things are happening, and you know,
Matt Reeves. There it is.
Riddler is very like the game. So,
well, all right, we got our Batman out of our system, so that's cool. I've been reading a lot of Batman comics too. So it's,
have you?
Yeah.
What's he been up to?
I read a series called White Knight that I loved. Oh my gosh, I loved it so much. It was really good. But, you know, he's pretty dark and broody and, you know, a little bit messed up and thinks about bats and his parents a lot. It's that sort of thing, you know. All right. Hey, Justin, real quick. So it feels like it already fell out of the collective consciousness. Last week, all anybody could talk about is refugees and airplanes and people leaving Afghanistan and political ramifications and fallout and, you know, messy exit and all this stuff. And then this week, I feel like nobody's talking about it at all. And so in a weird way.
Wait, are we talking about Afghanistan?
Yeah. Or it just feels like it left, right? Or am I wrong? I guess I'm not watching 24-hour news network, so I don't know, you know.
Well, neither do I. No, I think it's still there. The breaking news this morning was that the Taliban said that there would be no extensions on the August 31st deadline, and now they were going to be restricting Afghans from making it to the airport. So I wouldn't hold my breath on saying that Afghanistan is out of the news.
Yeah. Well, probably never will be, you know, totally, but.
No, I think it'll probably be faded by the end of the year, unless, of course, you know, this exit has led to a need to re-engage and we're redeploying troops or something on the outskirts of possibility. But I think, look, it's already ugly. So if you're the Biden administration, the thing that you can hope for is that, well, it's, you know, we're just going to take our lumps and move on, because foreign policy doesn't move the needle in the same way that the economy does. And either of them currently move the needle in the same way that the coronavirus stuff does, which is really the thing that's kind of powering Biden's approval ratings down right now, is a decline in people's faith in him as a coronavirus leader.
Right. So speaking of that, some states having their worst numbers in the entirety of the pandemic right now. Florida, your home state, Florida.
In terms of infections, yes.
Infections, yeah. They've hit all-time highs on all the waves. If you count the same waves they had in 2020, the waves this time are higher, including the current wave. I always have this question. So you hear about states having issues, right? Specific issues like Florida, yes. Texas, Tennessee, some others that are just really off the charts at the moment. And then others doing a little better, and then a lot of stuff in the middle. Pfizer getting approved for, you know, their FDA approval. All this stuff plays a role in, you know, the news cycle. But here's my question. On the federal level, when Florida's taking a dump like this, it's easy to everybody pile onto Florida and go, well, you're all – obviously Florida's doing it wrong, and DeSantis is an idiot and all this other stuff. Yeah. But that one usually happens is then that state will say, well, whatever, we're not getting support from the government, or we don't think the administration, blah, 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 whatever. So they go back and forth in that way. I guess what I'm saying is, does it hurt or help the economic / what's happening on the ground success that the administration needs? Like you were just saying, you know, the economy is the thing people focus on the most. So So is that affected by these states having this problem, or can they effectively sort of shun them in the same way that, you know, Trump would shun San Francisco or
the federal government?
Yeah. Like, yes. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, we have this idea of
federal government shun the states.
Yeah. Can they do that? I mean, they do that sometimes, right? Like Trump did it. Trump did it. Everybody does it. They'll be like, they'll single it out, somebody out, and go, ah, the crime and the homelessness in Seattle. Look what you've done to yourselves, you liberal idiots, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is, does that game yield anything for anyone on either side, or is this just nothing but blah?
Presumably, we would, I think, enjoy it if our federal government had a working relationship with our state governments. But specifically in the world of politics, and when you were talking about somebody that might be a challenger to Joe Biden's presidency in 2024 and Ron DeSantis, that is less likely to happen. I mean, I don't know where we want to where we want to start with this. I mean, I guess to answer your question directly, without going into the preamble, no, I don't think that does much but rally the hardcores. Although so much of politics now is rallying the hardcores, so you know it is what it is. Although I don't believe that having a opposite level discord between the federal government and the states, just because it's Biden to DeSantis and Abbott now, as opposed to Trump to Whitmer and Newsom or Cuomo, I don't think that that necessarily does much for Biden being the kind of post political unifier that he sold himself as. So whether or not that was possible, so I do think that it is probably a net drag on Biden's presidency, but I don't believe that it wins any new converts when you are on straight party lines doing a tug of war.
Yeah, that makes sense. You think DeSantis is locked for 2024? That's absolutely happening in your
Unless
mind?
Another Florida retiree runs, you know. I would say by the polling, he is viewed by even some Trump supporters as kind of Trump with a filter.
Yeah.
And Trump is viewed, especially considering he's still saying that elections are illegitimate, which will be an odd position when he tries to run in another election.
Yeah.
There are self-destructive tendencies to Donald Trump, both the candidate and the man, that, you know, will preclude him from winning.
Right. And also,
but then again, I don't know if DeSantis has to run for his office, for his job again in 2 years or in a year. So he will be freshly elected to a second term as governor, should he win then. And then he would have to turn right around and kind of start running for president. But, you know, if Trump runs, then I would suspect he would probably just take a powder on that.
You think DeSantis would? He'd just let Trump have
I think he would clear the way for Trump. Unless you are willing to go straight at Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And you will need to slice his throat.
Yeah.
Politically, metaphorically. you will need to do to Donald Trump what Barack Obama did to Hillary Clinton. Mm. And you will eat his heart and take his power in the way that Obama did to Clinton.
Yeah.
For that to be a thing. And so if you're not ready for that fight, I mean, I don't think, unless you're 100% sure that's what you're going to do, boy, that's going to be a hard one.
Yeah, I agree. And are there other prominent names in that 2024 GOP group that, you know, same thing, they'll probably just get out of the way?
Article by Ben Jacobs, I believe his name is, of New York Magazine, about all the Republicans that have already visited Iowa. The Iowa State Fair just came and went.
Yeah.
And of course, since that is the first caucus of the primary calendar in 2024, people are already going to, you know, meet the folks and you know, eat some fried butter and take some pictures with a hog or something. Some people have gone down there. Mike Pompeo is one of them that has apparently gotten a pretty warm response. Ted Cruz is obviously still there, but also some insurgents like Marjorie Taylor Greene went to the Iowa State Fair.
Oh, my Lord. All right. Well,
she's another one.
Look, I think she, when her first term is done, she should go back and renew her old Dog the Bounty Hunter show and keep that going. Keep that thing going.
This is Kristi Noem or Marjorie Taylor Greene?
Marjorie Taylor Greene. She really, I think she missed a chance to keep that alive.
She will never leave Congress. She's too famous now. They made her too famous.
Yeah, I
now
know.
All she does is raise money, and she's in a district that she will never lose.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has all been good. We got Batman. We got the Florida problems. We got all kinds of stuff here. Even some sneaky ideas about what 2024 may bring. But I can tell you this. Here's something that's not so sneaky. I'm going to be on with Justin. We're going to record a PX3 episode. And if you want to get, I'm telling you right now, whenever we do this, Justin gets the answers out of me. So if you want some real answers out of me,
he can't hang up on me on Discord.
Nope. Right?
Nope. Segment.
He has no control on your show. Yeah.
None.
And he always coughs up the good stuff on PX3.
I do. And I'm excited about it. That'll be happening. We're going to be recording that. I'm not sure when it'll go live. We'll make sure to let you guys know. And make sure you check
that out. That'll be up live tomorrow morning.
Oh, okay, cool. So you guys will hear it right away.
Immediately, right now, if you haven't already, subscribe to the Politics podcast. We will not only have the interview with Scott, but also a breakdown of what's happening in the House right now. Actually, a really crucial moment for Joe Biden's agenda when it comes to human infrastructure, as well as a look at the California recall, including the curious strategy of Gavin Newsom and the fact that there might be a low turnout for Democrats, which could mean that radio talk show host Larry Elder, who was reported last week to have pressured an ex-fiance into getting a tattoo that said Larry's Girl with a Superman logo on it and apparently brandishing a gun in front of her, could be the next governor of California.
Wow, that sounds great for California. Excellent. You got out of there just in time. Justin Robert Young, everybody. Find him at Justin R. Young on Twitter. Oh, I got to play this. Where is it?
The jury will now retire.
We'll see you next time.
Well then. See you, Gerbs.
See, Brian, I remembered again.
You did. Well done, sir.
I'm not a dummy sometimes. all right. We are toward the end of the show, which means bonus mashup time. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that means, I love a bonus mashup. Mm-hmm. Love it.
This is an SBSA.
Scott
Bad.
Did I not put him in? I didn't put him in the template. Oh, yeah, because I didn't have access at the time. I probably do now. SBSA.
If you don't, I'm going to give it to you.
I'll tell you. I have it right here.
How come this is locked still? I don't know.
It is TMS Sing-Along.
Oh, all right. Well, this usually means Brian's singing, so let's hear it.
SBSA.
Song Brian, Scott Brian sing along.
Oh, maybe Scott Brian sing along. Yep, oh, maybe. That's good.
All right. Like, well, we're about to find out. So sit back and enjoy this bonus from him. It's called Summer of 92, by the way, is the name of this track.
Okay.
Here you go. Enjoy.
Weird. Spaghetti on your shirt. Are you sick already? Knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom, spaghetti. You're under the gun and you take it on the lamb.
He's lump. He's in my bed. I want to F you like barbecued chicken or whatever.
I want to F you in my back of my truck. I want to take you to meet my mother.
There you go.
I lost on Jeopardy.
I lost on Jeopardy. Baby.
I like her song.
First, I was afraid. It was petrified.
And then, with further inspection,
and then I asked for a croissant with some jelly on the side. Spent so many nights just hiding in my house. Ever know that you're my hero?
I slept like shit.
I hear the words you wanna bleep when you're talking in your sleep.
Ah, look at you over there with a song.
And he's joined the National Front. He always was a little runt. He's got his hands in the air with the other
You gotta humanize yourself.
There you go. I saw how you skipped over that word. Well,
yeah, I did.
It'll never be me.
It's not
me. It'll never be me. What else can I be if I can't be me?
What else would
be? In the papers today, there's a hole in the roof. My position's causing me suspicion, but there's no proof.
See?
You and me, we come from different worlds. You use electrify when I look at other girls.
You've got one hand in your pocket and the other hand is holding a key for some reason.
What's that song? I forget how it goes.
Girlfriend in a coma. I can't think of his name.
Morrissey.
Morrissey looks better the older he gets.
Morrissey looks better the older he gets too.
The more you ignore me, the better looking I get.
Summer of 1992.
The summer of 92.
Got my first real six. It'd still be a six string.
Got my Nintendo 64. Bought it at the five and dime.
Wait, that's too early. It would have been a
it's too early. I know.
SNES.
I know.
You'd have gotten your SNES.
Bought my Super Nintendo Virtual Boy.
That was a good one. The summer of 92.
That is what it sounds like when I'm alone in the house and I'm walking around. I am singing pop songs with lyrics changed to whatever I'm doing.
I assume so. When I first started listening to you way back in the day, long before any of this stuff, you would sing your theme song for
Coverville. I will. Well, I still do. The Coverville theme right now is me singing.
Oh, that's you now. Oh, it's different, though, than it used to be. Isn't it?
Originally was the Bruce Springsteen Cover Me, but around episode 75 or 100, I changed it to.
That's right. You still sing it now.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you
live every
that.
Time. It's me every time. I should just record it and put a recording of it on the beginning of the show, but no, I still sing.
You don't sing it every time, right? You do record it.
No, of course not.
I wanted that to be true.
And there's no full version of it. There is just a version of me doing the first verse and the chorus, and that's it. And that's the only version that's out there. But
nice.
I would love to do a real version of the song and put it up on iTunes and have a song on iTunes.
It'll go viral.
Oh, viral. Sure. Yeah. Sure it will.
The closest I've got are voice samples I did for a bunch of Eric songs. Those are on iTunes.
Yeah.
On,
shoot them with laser or kill them with lasers.
Oh, that one's that's a knife party.
Yeah.
So that's two artists right, then. I got two artists.
You do? Yeah.
Yeah. To which I contributed very little. Very, very little from me. All right, let's get out of here. The reminder, okay? The whole shim-sham here. The whole thing.
The whole shim-sham.
The whole shim-sham brought to you by you fine folks at home at patreon.com/TMS. And I mean
and,
it. It's literally,
and
that's
those,
what we do. Yeah.
And those patrons, special little treat this Friday, play date, 2 p.m. Mountain Time. Come join us if you're a patron. Even if you're not a patron, come join us for a TMS play date Friday. Yep. We figured we haven't talked about it actually during the show yet, and we need to.
Yeah.
But TMS PM, 2 p.m. Mountain Time on Friday, and patrons get first join rights.
First
of the
dibs. Yeah.
We did Among Us last time, so I think this time is some What the Dub and some Jackbox.
Yeah, we'll mix some of those up. Maybe try some we haven't done in a while. I know some people really like Among Us, but you know we gotta pace it.
It's Claire. Claire wants Among Us. She just like
look at her right now. She just likes lying to everybody. And
she likes all caps is what she likes.
You really need to undock your switch and get that off.
Undock your switch.
All right. That's right. She wasn't there last time. We didn't even get to have her play.
Nope.
All right. What else? Oh, yeah. Send us your emails. TheMorningStream@gmail.com. We love them and can't get enough of them. For everything else you're looking for, you know, it's frogpants.com/TMS. Tomorrow we'll have a regular show with Tom and Nicole and Recommentals and me and Brian and all that.
Yeah.
So come back for that. And Thursdays is normal too. And then I'm gone Monday through Wednesday, and then Brian's gone till the 10th. But we'll have stuff. We'll have content.
We're gonna
try to do a couple of calls with Brian while he's out.
That's right. Brian calls in and drinks a Guinness.
Yeah, we're gonna have some guest hosts when I get back here and there. I think I'm gonna have who was I gonna tell you about today? I forgot. Crap.
Ooh, I'm excited. Who's it gonna be? Garrett, are you gonna have Garrett as a host? Co-host?
No, Garrett.
Gonna have Joss as a co-host?
No Joss.
Brent Dunaway as a co-host?
No, although that might be possible. Oh. Might do that. Kim,
all
for
of
sure.
These other options pale in comparison to those.
Oh,
three.
Travis, that's where TV's Travis is gonna come
on. Oh, really? Yeah, TV's Travis, nice.
Yeah,
all right, cool.
I didn't forget. I'm just trying to get in my head who's doing what. So we're gonna have Travis for one of those days. We're gonna have Kim for at least one, and then probably there'll be others. I can promise you that. But then Brian, if we can, we're gonna work it out so he calls, because it's like afternoon there. Yes, it'll be perfect.
Exactly. It'll be a very convenient time for me to call in.
Yeah. So it should be good. I'm looking forward to it. Oh, my phone just did something weird. Hold on. It's because Amber Alert, that's like two counties over.
Oh, really?
Okay. I don't know why it's telling me. I can't.
God, why do those Amber Alerts have to be so damn obnoxious?
Right? I mean, was it some kind
kidding,
of
people, I'm
emergency?
Kidding.
I have to respond.
Save your emails.
Just kidding. All right. Hey, that's it. We're done. Brian, song play, please.
Yeah. Aaron from Calgary wrote in and said, hey, no specific reason for this request. I just love good jazz singing. I'm a longtime podcast listener and patron, and I'm just grateful for the years of entertainment. Thank you for sharing your time and talents with us. Oh. Signed, Aaron from Calgary. His favorite singer at the time, right now, is Aubrey Logan. She's done a bunch of stuff with Postmodern Jukebox, but she's also put out some really good solo albums. Incredible jazz singer. This woman can scat, and no better evidence of that than on this track right here. It's a cover of MC Hammer from her 2017 album Impossible. Here is Aubrey Logan, and You Can't Touch This.
Nice. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
One, two. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. My music hits me so hard it makes me say, oh my lord, thank you for blessing me with a mind to rhyme and to hype it. It feels good when you know you're down. A super dope poem boy from the Oak Town, and I'm known as such. And this is the beat, you can't touch. I told you, homeboy, you can't touch this. Yeah, that's how we living, and you know you can't touch this. Look at my eyes, man, you can't touch this. Yo, let me bust the funky lyrics. You can't touch this, fresh new kicks and pants. You gotta like that, now you know you wanna dance. So move out of your seat and get a fly girl and catch this beat. But I throw it, hold on, bump a little bit and let them know what's going on. Like that, like that. Cold on a mission, so fall them back. Let them know that you're too much. And this is the beat, you can't touch. Yo, I told you, you can't touch this. Why you standing there, man? You can't touch this. Yo, sound the bell, school is in, sucker. Now give me a song, old rhythm, making them sweat. That's what I'm giving them now. They know you're talking about a hammer, talking about a show that's hype and tight. Sing as I sweat until I pass them a mic or tape. To learn what's it gonna take in the 90s to burn the charts. Legit, either work hard or you might as well quit. That's word, because you know you can't touch this. You can't touch this. Break it down. Stop. Hammer time, go with the flow. It is sudden. If you can't groove to this, then you probably are dead. So wave your hands in the air. Bust a few moves, run your fingers through your hair. This is it for a winner. Dance to this, and you're gonna get thinner. Move, slide your rump. Just for a minute, let's all do the bump. Now why would I? this. Oh, 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 oh. You can't touch this. Oh, 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 oh. You can't touch this. Whoa, 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 whoa. Oh, 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 oh. I'm too hype. You can't touch this. Get me out of here, man. You can't touch this.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
We're not going to have Pepsi with baby flavoring in it.